You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Good morning. Good morning. Wonderful to see you all. Welcome to our All In Sunday. This is the time where we, as a church, as family, we just gather in and lean into some vision and some announcements. Today, as Josh mentioned, marks in the church calendar Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is where we see in the Gospels Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, honoring him as king, and at the same time initiates Holy Week as we descend now to Good Friday. So it's interesting to me, we have shouts from the crowd of Hosanna. And then 5 days later, we have shouts of crucify him. Christ came to claim his throne, and the throne he claimed was the cross. He gave up his crown and took up his cross. This is the beauty of the faith. This is the beauty of Easter. And I think this moment, this week, is incredibly poignant, actually, as we reflect on our cultural moment, where we are as a society. I think it serves as a wonderful picture of the times that we currently live in. Charles Dickens, in Tale of the Two Cities, I think summarized it really well. It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, and it was the age of foolishness. And we are living in both times of great opportunity and great opposition, times of great blessing and times of great battles. Now, just in terms of the opportunity before us, we are living in extraordinary times as a church. The culture at large, with what is happening right now, the spiritual climate has changed. Spiritual hunger is up. People coming to church is up. I kind of feel like I'm in the House of Parliament. Bible sales are up. Downloads of spiritual apps. You get the picture, yeah? Christian music streams. Down. No, joking. Just checking you're awake. The Christian script now entering into the public domain in historic ways, from media stories, just a recent Times article reporting on how people are involved at a high level in artificial intelligence are turning to God because they're terrified of playing God. The Telegraph last week, this was the headline, "The Bible might just save the youth." I never thought I'd be reading headlines like that in the Telegraph. To the viral Stephen Bartlett's, you know, from Dragon's Den, his Diary of a CEO podcast with the theologian from Canada, Wes Huff, on the gospel and the truth of the resurrection, just making waves in the secular press. And then as a church, a local church here, every single week, people showing up to church curious about faith, giving their lives to Jesus. The stories are mad. Next week we baptize, so far, another 14 people. That's nearly 100 in about 18 months. So incredible days that we're in. The rain is falling. Scarcity is turning to abundance. I love this story. Again, recently in the press, a group of around 30 Christian academics and staff at Newcastle University have written an open letter to the university confessing their faith in Christ and encouraging all students to take the opportunity to investigate the faith for themselves. And I'm so encouraged by all the teachers that we have in our local church doing amazing things to serve the young people of our region. And I heard stories recently in our staff meeting of teachers running groups and courses and clubs now in their context, a real sense of an open door, an open season. We have now teachers praying in the church together for a move of God in the educational system. People running alpha courses in their schools. And at the same time, when God moves in incredible ways, things shake. We see this throughout the Bible in Old Testament stories, in the book of Psalms. The Easter story, Good Friday, you know, the curtain was torn in two, and it says the earth shakes. 3 days later, with the resurrection of Christ, the earth shakes. 50 days later, Pentecost, the sound of a violent wind shaking. Then two chapters later, they're praying and the place they were meeting shakes. So at the same time God is moving, we see a shaking. We're seeing a shaking politically right now, economically. I mean, look at the petrol prices. That's just an aside. That's just a personal vent right there. Global wars, and then technologically, with the increase over years of social media, the whole point of that with the algorithms is to get people's attention. So we now live in an age of distraction. It's probably the biggest threat to a Christian in terms of focus, the multiple scripts that we can be engaged in. And now we have in artificial intelligence, and I don't think social media, technology, artificial intelligence, any of these things are to be rejected, but they are to be redeemed. And God will use these things for his glory and the advance of his kingdom. We've seen that with technology, that people from lots of countries where there is persecution for reading your Bible or for naming Christ as your Savior, now people can access things online. And it's the speed of the gospel around the world has accelerated. But we now see with AI, now that is going after our attachments. So there'll be an attachment deficit because of people's relationship with AI. They'll choose that relationship rather than human relationships, which is why, as the church, we must fight for a core thing, which is community, family, human interaction. Christianity was never meant to be something somebody can do in isolation as an individual. All the epistles are written to a body of people. It's about one another's. This is how we best serve Christ in the context of relationships, how we become more like Christ. So from laws that are being passed, ungodly laws, to wars happening, to the multiple crises that people are facing, God is moving. God is moving, things are shaking. And so with opportunity, you always get opposition. And so I really believe for us as a local church, the moment is ripe, but the responsibility is real. With everything going on, we as human beings should be anxious. We should be anxious with everything that's going on. But Christians, we don't need to be anxious because we are part of a kingdom that will never, ever, ever be shaken. The psalmist put it this way: I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. The ground beneath our feet, saints, is solid rock, and Christ is our solid rock. And I remember that old hymn I used to sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. And so, church, what we do in times of both blessing and buffeting, blessing and battles, is we build. This is how we bring faithful consistency to our discipleship in these times of great opportunity but also shaking. Is what does the church do? We build. And Jeremiah 29 urges us to do this, that when we are in exile, which we are strangers passing through. This is not our home. We are to also build and settle down. As the parable teaches, build your house on the rock, which is Christ and his word. So two things I want to announce today. Two things that we are building. First of all, we are committed to building a discipleship culture. This is at the forefront of all our activities and our vision as a local church this year. To meet this moment, to meet what God is doing. We know that on every level, the future of the church won't be decided by attendance alone. Now, attendance to church is so important because church is the place we get encouraged. And unless we attend, we can't be encouraged. And so it's absolutely crucial, but the depth of discipleship to meet the moment we're in won't come from an hour and 5 minutes on a Sunday experience. As good as that Sunday experience is, I know when I just go away for a week or two, desperately miss meeting together with the saints. It's amazing what just a short time can do on a Sunday. We have to do it three times. But it's not just about that. It has to be the rest of the week. And it's where we develop leaders, we disciple deeply, and we meet culture where they are at in terms of our mission. So we see the need of the day right now is to disciple the church so that we in turn can disciple those whom God is bringing. And biblical literacy is the centerpiece of this. It's kind of like the king, the queen on a chessboard. Helping people understand the Bible. You may go into work tomorrow morning and you've got people, because of the spiritual climate, they say to you, hey, I know you're a Christian. Can you help me understand the Bible? Maybe we can meet once a week on a lunch break and you can help answer some of these questions. Because for those of you who are new to the Bible, you'll realize that it's not always straightforward. The core central message is simple. It is all pointing towards Christ. But actually, unpacking some of the texts, particularly like in the Old Testament, is a bit of a challenge for people. And so it's really important that we as followers of Christ, that we are biblically literate, that we understand the Bible so that we can meet the moment and we can disciple other people. And so we want to give you both the confidence and the competence to understand the Bible well so that we can respond to the growing tide of interest that we are currently living in. And so we are rolling out probably one of our most ambitious projects yet as a church around discipleship. And here is the dream. Here's the headline. Here's the absolute dream. Every single adult in our church will do and complete something called the Bible course. You'll see a flyer on your chair. I see it on the screen here. You go on that QR code. All the information is on there. But this is an incredible 8-week course. 8 weeks, that's it. To understand the Bible, to understand it in its context, how it all fits together, to lean into some of the big topics in the Bible, and how on earth is it relevant to the world today? How is it relevant to your next door neighbor? How is it relevant to the person you hang out with and meet at the gym? How is it relevant to the people in our world? So right at the beginning of the year, we talked about discipleship and we said that we're going all in for this. We can't have competing stories in the life of the church. And so in the spirit of less is more and not wanting to dilute this vision, after Easter, we are doing the Bible course in every single home group in the life of the church. We're not doing any other course, any other content piece. We are purely doing this. And the goal is through this, more people will join home groups and more groups are launched into all the suburbs and the postcodes of Hull, East Riding and our region. Wouldn't it be amazing if every single person is part of a discipling, relational community midweek, studying the Bible, being discipled, and then from that, it is a launch pad to have Bible courses even at your place of work, even where you live, wherever you do life, that you're able to run this. But more importantly, you yourself will have more confidence in handling the questions of our age. There's no doubt about it, particularly amongst young people, they're a generation who are hungry for meaning, longing for answers. The script that they've been handed has made them sick. and the anxiety and the mental health crisis that we are part of, the confusion. And the Bible has the answers. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. We have the medicine, if you like. And people are turning up online all the time, as it were, to the doctors of life, saying, where can I find help? And we, the church, we do have the answer. We are absolutely committed to knowing that there is one way to God. And it is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. And we have the privilege and the honor of inviting our world to meet him and enjoy him and have relationship with him through his word. We believe that home groups is the best place to do this, because discipleship, as we've talked about, isn't just merely content. We're in a generation which, if anything, we're overfed with resource and information. So I know that's not the answer. So it can't just be a content piece. It has to be based in relationship, a relational process. And much of the church, I fear, has built an educational process around their discipleship, rather than understanding, quite simply, the people who have been around me in my life, that is why I've been discipled the way that I have. It is through having people and iron sharpening iron and mentors and people who encourage me and point things out and help me in my walk with Jesus. This is how it happens. Jesus spent 38%, just let that sink in, 38% of his time around meals, around the table. One of the reasons the vision of this church is home, and the reason we eat tonight and we eat regularly and we do hospitality, which Josh will unpack tonight, is because this is the way of Christ. I don't mind fasting sometimes. I really love feasting. And I think it's great that we kind of get like a green, you know, the green light and a free pass from Jesus, so you can just eat. Enjoy food, enjoy good company, and become like Christ. I mean, what a deal, eh? So we're passionate about the spiritual formation in the context of relationship in community. 1 hour a week, a church attendance simply isn't enough to become a disciple. A weak commitment to church will ultimately lead to a weak connection to God. And so it goes hand in hand. Joni and I will be part of one of these groups doing the Bible course. And I really feel we need to fight for community, particularly in an age of technology and such things as artificial intelligence. It's a beautiful course. There's videos, there's discussion around the table whilst doing life with one another and praying for one another. So to get the most, let me just be really practical, to get the most out of the course, everyone needs a handbook. You would have seen as you came into the auditorium, those handbooks, they cost £10 each. And so the church has invested heavily in this and ordered hundreds. I think 160 just went in our first service. Ordered hundreds of books and have subsidized it to £5 a copy, which I think is a great deal. But on top of this, we're saying that we'd love as many of us to pay £5 for this handbook. However, if you are new to faith, we'd love to give you a free book. Okay, we're not going to check your Christian passport. Okay. However, if you've been a Christian for like 40 years, maybe you can pay £5. I don't know. But if you're new to faith, maybe you come to faith last year, we'd love to give you a free book. If you are exploring faith right now, if you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we'd love to give you a free book. If you bring a friend, you and your friend will get free books to the course. If you are here and you're currently not in a home group, you will get a free book. And so every single home group, if you're here and you are part of a home group right now, then automatically you will be doing the Bible course. But if you're here and you've never been part of a discipling community midweek, then we would love to give you a free book. If finance is a barrier to you right now, if you just say, John, look, £5 is just too much for me right now, we'd love to give you a free book. Or there's also an opportunity to pay it forward. I love the story of a church in Oxford called St. Aldate's. Like us, like many churches, giving away free Bibles. And somebody in their church went to the rector and said, I'd love to pay and buy a thousand Bibles. And not just like your average Bible, like really beautiful Bibles. As they paid it forward, they bought the church 1,000 Bibles to give away. And so if you feel the unction to do that today, just go with it. Don't fight that. It's most likely the Lord. Like if I got a nudge and it says buy 50 Bible course books or buy 50 Bibles, I'm not going to be like rebuking the devil, okay? It's probably the Lord, okay, asking you to do that. Anyway, that's just an aside. We want to make it as easy and accessible as possible. And so once done, if people do this course, be confident in discipling other people in Christ. And so the QR code with all the information is on the flyer, but I really encourage you, we'll have a moment at the end of the service, particularly if you're not in a home group, to come and to get your handbook and to sign up to the course at the desk at the back of the auditorium. The second thing I want to announce that we're building, and for most of you this won't be a surprise, is the Hope Center. So in response, again, to the times that we're living in, we are building a compassion center. We hope this will be the first of maybe 5 or 6 we plan in our region. We'll look at this next year about sites and church planting as a church. But we've got to go first. We've got to build a template at our central campus and to serve the needs of the city. So here's the big news, people. Can you believe it? In 9 days' time, that's Tuesday, the 7th of April, the Tuesday after Easter, works will start on the site. So, the grounds will literally begin to shake. And God's so kind, His timing is always perfect. You know, when I launched the vision of the Hope Center, it was actually about Easter time 3 years ago. And I said to the Lord, 3 years will be my limit. If we don't break ground in 3 years, we're done. So God's always on time. I wish He'd been a bit early, but He's always on time. And so, you know, we had about a year just to kind of sort out planning. We had a year of building partnership in the city. I think we've raised about $500,000 from just people in the city sowing into this vision, who aren't part of this church. Isn't that amazing? Our church community, you have given nearly $750,000 to build a center that will reach the most marginalized and vulnerable in our city. Isn't that amazing? So well done, church. The steel has arrived in the factory. The production of the units in the factory are about to begin. The foundations will be dug. We'll put a Bible down there. And preparation for the building will be delivered to the site. It will be delivered second half of May. The rest of the fit-out happens. We'll get keys in July. And then we'd love to be operational because of summer and holidays and everything. We'd love to be operational after the summer in the autumn term for all that we're going to be doing. If you're new here, just to let you know what the Hope Center will have in it. It'll have a cafe, and in the cafe we'll be doing all sorts of classes and projects to serve the most vulnerable in our city. We will have a supermarket, which will be our food bank, but the dignity of choice we believe is really, really important. We're going upstream, so not just a place of mercy and charity and kindness, but actually to tackle injustice. We want to say to every single person who goes in there, there is more to life than what you're living right now. Maybe people all your life have told you you'll never amount to much, but we, the local church, the hands and feet of Christ, we will tell you that your ambition and aspiration is real in God. And we are for you, and we're going to help you realize your dreams. And so, supermarket, there'll be a warehouse, there'll be a Grow Baby boutique store. It is amazing all that's going on with the Grow Baby ministry. There'll be a laundrette, showers, youth room, multifunctional room, community money advice center. We're now handling over £1 million worth of debt in our community, counseling suites and meeting spaces. So I'm here to tell you something really, really important, okay? You excited? Okay, it's around the area of parking, okay? So let me get really practical just for a couple of minutes. We, of course, in the building of this, we'll have reduced car parking spaces. We'll lose about a quarter of our land. And so from Sunday, the week after Easter, let's get through Easter next weekend. The Sunday after, on the 12th of April, we're asking all those that are able to park at our extra car park, which is at K3, which is on Clough Road, probably 3-4 minute walk from here. And that is next to the police station. Okay, and we'll have our fantastic car park team welcome you. You'll know where it is. But that's going to happen on the 12th of April. If you're able to, park at K3. And so what we're saying is if you're on staff, if you're part of the team, maybe you're serving on team that day, you're a leader. We have about 130 leaders in our church. So if you're a leader, can we prefer others? We always go first. This is what we do. Leadership in the kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom. We serve and wash people's feet. We're not bothered about title or position or privilege. We serve people. And particularly, as Corinthians talks about, the least of those. So it's really, really important that we go first. So we want to create room here on this car park for guests, for people new to church, so they don't have to walk from K3, people for whom parking at K3 will be a challenge. For example, maybe you have a young family. And again, we're not like checking things. So how old are your kids? It's just for you and your discretion, okay? Just park here. If you as a family say, we just need to be near the building, do that. And so you know who you are. And so you make the decision. Or if you require an accessible spot, then please park here. Plenty of space for all of you. So any giving, if you're here and you've never given into the Hope Center, any giving at the back there will be given to the Hope Center today. And then also, if you go online, we've got loads of literature, but if you go online, you can set up a standing order or one-off gift into the vision of the Hope Center. So we should finish with this before we close and worship. In the physical today, we've advanced our clocks by an hour. Well done, church, for coming to church. The practice, of course, of advancing clocks is to make better use of the longer daylight hours. And Ephesians 5 says this: look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I believe that the Lord is giving us, as it were, an extra hour spiritually, an extra hour of daylight to hasten the day of his return and to expand the gospel, particularly when the wind of the Spirit is blowing in our spiritual climate. It's an extra hour of daylight to roll up our sleeves, get our hands dirty for the kingdom of God. Let me just be practical about that for a moment. In the UK, adults spend over half an hour longer online every day in 2026 than they did even during the pandemic. So that's a huge pendulum swing from even COVID days, when most people were online a lot. We did an online church. So that takes us to nearly 5 hours a day average online time, which is about the basic full-time working week is 35 hours. So your whole working week is spent, on average, by adults in the UK, online scrolling. Essentially destroying our brain cells and making a lot of people depressed. So here's my challenge to us, an invitation as a church. We are saying for 1.5 hours, 2 hours maximum, every single week, to learn the Bible and be discipled so we can serve a generation. That is 5% of your scrolling time. Just think of it in that context. 5%, can you like almost tithe that to the Lord by attending a group? And we'll have an online group. We have digital disciples. You know, we have digital disciples in our church. And so, of course, some of you, it will be a struggle to come to somewhere midweek. And so we'll serve you by doing it online as well. But many of us, we can do this. And I guarantee you will feel so much better, if nothing else, spending that time to do a deep dive in the scriptures and replace that with some scrolling time. I was really struck this week. My 8-year-old daughter played the part of, you may have heard of her, Lillian Balocca, the famous hullion who campaigned for improved safety in the shipping industry, in the fishing fleet. There was the tragedy of the trawler where I think it was nearly 60 people died, and she took a petition to the Prime Minister, got thousands of signatures to improve health and safety. And I love this line, what she said. She went there, and on the back of people dying, she said, enough is enough. That was her vision. Vision is less about what we see and actually the frustration of what we don't see. Vision is when frustration with what is creates passion for what could be. So I don't know about you, but there's some extra oomph right now stirring in me where we just go, do you know what? The days are evil. There is opposition. There are difficult times. Enough is enough. We recognize that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only hope for our world. And so to be discipled in the Bible is so, so important so that we can help other people. This just came home to me a couple of weeks ago. I was at the funeral of my old pastor. And the church he was a pastor of that I used to go to is now, sadly, shrunk, like many churches, shrunk to about 20 people. Really sad. But the church on this occasion was so full, it nearly brought my hometown of Pontefract to a standstill. And to hear the eulogies and the stories, but more importantly that, to see that church full of people like me who had been impacted and discipled by this one man's ministry. The fruit and the legacy was extraordinary. The amount of people who've come to faith, who now love the Bible, who love prayer, who are now leaders in the church because of one man's faithfulness to God's word. And I thought, you can't see that when you're a young kid. When I was a teenager and I used to record the services, you remember those old VHS tapes? I used to record the services. I sometimes talked with my mates and got told off. That was just the kind of church it was at that time. But I got my foundations for everything that I am today. And to see all of us still there loving Jesus because we want to follow this guy as he follows Christ. He carries the aroma of Christ. He carries something in his belly, which is a fire for the gospel. Christ crucified. We know nothing else but Christ crucified.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.